If you would, turn in your Bibles to chapter 5 of the book of Joshua. Chapter 5 in the book of Joshua. I started on this message 4 months ago. 4 months ago, I started preparing. I knew the chapter. I knew exactly, as soon as Pastor Ronnie called me, I knew exactly what I was going to preach. Only that God made me revise it for the next 4 months. I'm telling you, man, I'd go three or four days and I'd say, okay, I've got it polished. It's ready to go. I'm not going to touch it again. I'm just being nervous because I'm preaching at my home church. Or I would say, I'm just nervous because I'm around Dr. Phillips or Pastor Paulette. I'm just nervous. And then about a few weeks ago, it dawned on me, it's not nervousness. God is altering and changing and adjusting me and this message because I had to be in the right frame of mind just to preach this message. I couldn't preach this message at Ray of Hope because it's not for Ray of Hope. I couldn't preach this message at any of the churches that I've preached at over the past 10 years. This message is for you. It doesn't matter how old you are when you hear this message. It doesn't matter how young you are. This message is for you because you have a destiny. You have a job to do in Christ. And while some of you may be on your way in your destiny and you're doing fabulous, you're doing wonderful, there are many of you, just based on the statistics around the world right now, there are many of you that are bought by the blood, but you are not living in accordance with the destiny that God has for your life. And there may be a reason. And I want to bring that reason to you this morning. I would love to come in here on the last day of June, lighthearted and skipping and telling jokes, because that's what I love doing when I go preach anywhere, is bringing laughter and lightness to the crowd, and I would love to do that today, but I have a word from you, and this word might require an adjustment in your life, because I promise you, it will require of you to change your mentality about your destiny, because it did mine. So if you're in Joshua 5, I'll be reading from the NASB version. If you would stand to your feet in reverence to the Word of God this morning. My goodness, that worship was off the hook. I know that your hearts are prepared, and I'm so grateful that you're here. Now, if you will open your word, your tablet, whatever you're using this morning, or if you're just using the screen, we're in Joshua 5. Now it came about when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan before the sons of Israel until they had crossed, that their hearts melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because the sons of Israel. And at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make for yourself flint knives and circumcise again the sons of Israel the second time. So Joshua made himself flint knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at Gibeah and Haaretz. This is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, died in the wilderness along the way after they came out of Egypt. For all the people who came out were circumcised, but all the people who were born in the wilderness along the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the sons of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, that is the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord had sworn that he would not let them see the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Their children, whom he raised up in their place, Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised them along the way. Now when they had finished circumcising all the nation, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. Pay very close attention to this last verse. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, your word is eternal. Your word is forever. It is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The promises are ours for the taking. Our destiny is ours for the taking. But obedience is necessary. Father, allow us to soften our hearts to your word. Open our ears for hearing. And Father, every word out of my mouth today is in submission to you and in obedience. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, you have to understand something. For the past about 16 months, I've been preaching in a church that only seats about 300. So if I can't hear you say amen, it's going to make me think that my zipper is undone or there's something on my face. So I need you to amen me, and I need you to be loud. Is that okay this morning? Please don't make me prompt you 15 times because that'll make me insecure and I'll cry the whole way home and it's an 8-hour drive and Interstate 81 is awful. So I need your help this morning preaching this message. First of all, I want to look at that last verse one more time. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you." So the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. I want to focus on that word reproach. I want to talk about the word reproach because a lot of times we preach about a reproach, but we don't get technical enough about the concept of a reproach being on our life. I want you to know that if you're a child of God, if you're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can still have a reproach on your life. If you're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can still have a reproach on your life. Let's take just a few moments here to kind of define reproach to get an understanding of what a biblical reproach means. First of all, a reproach is a disregard or shame for something or someone that should be considered valuable. It can be the loss of a reputation. A reproach can be the loss of a reputation. Someone with a reproach is subject to ridicule and taunting. Someone with a reproach is subject to ridicule and taunting. But the way I like to define reproach, if you take every possible definition of the word, all of its uses, is an inability to fulfill one's purpose. If you remember back in Genesis, God removed Rachel's reproach. Genesis 30 and 22. That's Genesis 30 and 22. Then God remembered Rachel and God gave heed to her and opened her womb. So she conceived and bore a son and said, "God has taken away my reproach." She named him Joseph, saying, "May the Lord give me another son." To have a reproach on you means that you've been labeled in an unfavorable manner. Even if the label no longer applies, people still treat you differently than they do other people because of a reproach. Or even if you're undeserving of the label to begin with. Because remember, a reproach doesn't necessarily mean you're doing anything wrong. In the New Testament, we're even commanded to bear Jesus' reproach. You don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 13 and 12, "Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So let us go out to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." But a reproach in the context that we are talking about this morning is the reproach of Egypt, and it's negative. It's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. And many people walk around and they make statements like this: "This is just who I am, and you got to deal with it. I love Jesus, I love church, I go to church, but this is just who I am, and you got to deal with it." And I got to a point in my life where I was stuck. You see, I came here this morning, I had the outline, I had 5 points, I even memorized a poem because I love it when Dr. Phillips can do everything by memory. You ever watch Dr. Phillips preach and he does the poem or the song at the end and he does it like it's just cataloged in his brain for 25 years? I admire that. And so, Paulette, I said, and I studied, I wanted to have a poem that suited this perfectly. And God messed me up. He said, "You're being disingenuous and you're not being authentic." And then when we got to the summer camp meeting with the IPH, I was talking to Paulette about something completely unrelated, and she downloaded a word into me. And she said, "Just be authentic." And I knew right then that I had to get real and strip away any type of premise that would say, "Hey, you know what? I've got this figured out, and I've know this so well." Folks, we're family. I've been here. I've scraped every toilet that we've had. I've cleaned the carpets here. I've cleaned the upholstery. I've vacuumed right through here. I've cleaned every single thing. Every seat that you're in right now, I've shampooed. To come up here and act like something that I'm not, it would embarrass you and me both. Matter of fact, the suit that I'm wearing, I didn't pick it out. My kids bought it for Christmas, and sometimes I feel like I'm coming out of the thing. You'll get it in a minute. Some of you don't get it because there's these new cuts of these suits, and I don't understand it. You know, used to you wanted a suit to hang on you, and now you do. I feel like I'm busting out of this thing. Pastor Ronnie can pull this off. It's hard for me to pull this off. I didn't forget where I came from. I didn't forget the lessons that I've learned along the way. I didn't forget the rebukes and loves and everything that I got from this church along the way, from everybody, from the deacons to the pastor to everybody in the world. But let me tell you something. When you're lost on the road to your destiny, you'll never have enough affirmation. It'll never be good enough. It's never okay. Because when you're lost on the path to your destiny, you can get 15 attaboys and you won't hear one. When you're not in your destiny, young people, you listen to me. When you're not in your destiny, no matter how great your girlfriend, your boyfriend, no matter how great the college you go to, no matter how great the job, you will never feel complete inside. Something takes place here in this chapter that absolutely thrilled me but puzzled me for 4 months, and I couldn't deal with it. It bothered me. I just kept going back. I tried to ignore it. I wanted to leave it out of my notes. I said, just ignore it. You don't have to cover it. But it's that one verse. That one verse. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That one verse that says, God, verse 9, but then God rolled away the reproach. Because most of my life, whether it be Pentecostalism, whether it be being a good old Southern fried Baptist, whatever you are, whatever you're from, I had this mindset that I know that you've had it in your life too, where somehow I could fix the reproach, that I could fix it, that I could work my way out of the reproach. I walked around singing Frankie Valli songs in Jesus' name, working my way back to Jesus. With a burning love inside. Boy, that'd be a good one. Somebody needs to baptize that. Oh, don't clap that. I'm still trying to find a way to baptize Play That Funky Music, White Boy, but that's a whole different... Somebody, Brian, where's Brian at? Brian, get on that. The need for constant affirmation is a sure sign you're not on your destiny yet. Because let me tell you, when you're on your destiny and you're on the path that God has set you for, you don't care what anybody says. You'll make a stand. You'll make a stand. You'll be like, I don't care. Talk to the hand. I've got a job to do. But when you're struggling to find that place, you may know it already in your heart like I did for years. I've been preaching since I was 5 years old. But for years, I fought the calling, and then when I accept the calling, I fell into the same rut that the children of Israel had fallen into. And that was a wishy-washy, double-minded mentality. And then when I finally accepted it, I said, I am a preacher. I accept my calling. Not long before I got here to Abba's house. I got here to Abba's house. I was excited, but I wasn't going to stay long because that church was going to open up. But God's about the process. God will fight the battles for your destiny, but he will not fight the battles of your personal agenda. Boy, that's a good word. I'm going to say it again because it took us just a second. God will fight the battles for your destiny. If you'll notice here in verse 1, in 5 and 1, it says that the king's hearts melted, not because of Joshua's army, but because of the parting of the Jordan. They weren't too scared of Joshua's army. Later it says something about that, but right there, it's because of the work God did. That impressed them. But you can't carry an agenda and your destiny at the same time. God's all about the process. It doesn't matter how long it takes. One of the best things Pastor Ronnie ever told me, and I'm off my notes just a little bit. You'll be okay. Pastor Ronnie, I was in his office. I said, I just feel like I'm getting too old. I'm getting too old to get up and preach. I'm getting too old. Pastor Ronnie, if you've ever seen him give you a word, especially if it's a minor correction, he gets this scowl on his face, man. He does. He gave me a look. And before I could even get it out of my mouth, he said, no, you're not. You haven't even started yet. God's got big plans for you, great plans for you, huge plans for you, big plans. And it's got nothing to do with your age. Don't ever say that around me again. I went, Oh, Reggie. I almost freaked out until I walked out of the office, and it was a week later, and I noticed there was a little bit more of a spring in my step. And the reason why is because the power of life and death comes out of the mouth. And what had happened was Pastor Ronnie had spoken life over me where there had been death. And before you know it, I felt like I could do the pony. I was doing things hadn't done for years. I said, baby, let's start jogging. I'm going to go for a jogging routine. I'm going to start living right, thinking right. I'm young again. man, you can. Yes. Sometimes you have to look in the mirror and tell yourself, I've got a destiny. I've got a future. I've got a promise. We used to sing that song. I am a promise with a capital P. I am a promise. You remember that? Man, I got in the mirror one time. I was feeling down and out after I received this word. And I looked in the mirror and I started singing it. But I started singing it like I could sing. You ever do that? Yeah, you do. Don't even lie. I've pulled the seat. Remember, I used to live here. I've seen you guys in your cars, okay? Come on. Oh, I don't ever do that. Man, I was rocking it out, Sister Angie. I was like, I am a promise. I was putting everything into it because we have a destiny. What happens? What happens? What puts us in a rut to where we spend years either not pursuing or stuck in a situation? What happens? For the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, which is a type and shadow of sin, when they were saved, when they were delivered, when they were baptized, they left Egypt. They had ridden themselves of the Egyptian taskmaster, but their mind was still enslaved. You've heard some of this preached. Just a minute, because you've heard it. Their mind was still enslaved. So one day, they're singing the old songs. Every day I'm camping in the land of Canaan. Hallelujah! And they're casting devils out of devils, and they're shouting at the drop of a handkerchief, and they're dropping their own handkerchief to shout. Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God. And the second any adversity hits them at all, it's, have you brought us out here to kill us, Moses? What's the pastor doing? We're going to build a children's facility? Oh, what are we doing? You're laughing because of the truth in it. How many of us on our Christian walk, it is a normal process. You can count it. You can clock it. The cycle's about to end. I know people in their Christian walk, and I'm trying to love them, trying to help them and be gentle, but I want to go, I know that you've only got 5 more minutes to be telling me how great God is, because when that big hand hits that number right there, you're going to collapse. I know, because I've been there. We wait continuously for something wonderful and amazing to happen, so that it gives us permission to walk in our destiny. I'm going to say that again. We're waiting continuously for something amazing to happen so that we can have the confidence to walk in our destiny. Folks, that's not how it works, and it took me a decade to realize that. That's not how it works. And young people, I'm talking to you, but I want you to know I'm not just talking to the very young. I'm talking to every single age group in here, because I don't want the enemy to lie to a single person today and tell you this message is not for me. Because if you're in a seat this morning here at Alba's House, you have a destiny in Christ. You have a job to do, and it is not okay just to sit and do nothing. You have a job to do. But we wait for that pivotal moment, for somebody to call you out. One of those preachers who's good at calling people out. God's given them a call you out anointing. It's in there somewhere. It's in the Bible. I like it. I'm going to call you out in Jesus' name. Get up here. And then I'm going to give you the word that gives you the confidence to let you know you're called. Let me tell you something right now. If you're waiting for that, God can't use somebody who is not secure in what they've been called to do. The Bible says that signs follow believers. Believers are supposed to be following signs anyway. Come on, somebody. You are supposed to take a step forward, and then God begins to anoint your path. Are you not with me this morning? I had Brad Tucker. Thank you, Brad, for helping me this morning. I had Brad Tucker bring this up here. I pushed this thing around this church. I'm glad I did it. I'm thankful I did it. I can still tell you where everything goes. And matter of fact, I'm at a point now where I enjoy cleaning the toilet every now and then. You ever just need to clean something? You just be walking around the house saying, man, I got to clean something. I don't know what's wrong with me. And you can't say that too loud, at least not in my house, or my wife will put me to work like that. Oh, you're in the mood to clean. Well, while you're at it, I look at this cart right here, and there's great memories, but it's tainted by another memory. It's tainted. It could be special. It could be a lot more special than it is. It is special. Don't take me wrong. And don't run with this and make this message something that it isn't. But I remember times where I resented pushing this thing. Now I'm talking to people. There were times that I didn't realize how beautiful this thing is. Folks, it doesn't matter what your occupation is. You have a destiny. God calls you where you're at in what you're doing. Do not curse what you're doing for a living thinking, I can't get there from here. That'll stunt your growth. That'll prevent you from going forward. That is the reproach of Egypt. A mindset that says, I'm limited, I'm controlled, I can't get there from here. It's got to be perfect. The right person's got to do this. The moon's got to set in this position, and the stars have to be aligned in such a way. If God has called you to anything, and I'm not just limiting that to ministry. If you work at one of our corporations around here, God's called you there. Then when you walk in the door, you're supposed to be a testimony regardless of what the PC environment is telling you to do. You got to stand bold. We'll get to that in just a moment. You ask, why is this a big deal? The reproach of Egypt is more than just a burden. It's a limitation. It's a restriction. It's an unfavorable bias. It's a stigma that holds you back. It's a label you can't shake off. It's attached to your destiny. But this is, I want you to focus in on this part right here. A reproach is a public self-projection of your past that exaggerates your current shortcomings and failures. And it ignores your dreams. It ignores your destiny. It ignores your calling. While casting a dark silhouette on yourself into the future. Millions of Christians who are free in Christ continue to suffer the reproach of Egypt. You've left Egypt and that Christ has forgiven you of your sins, but you're still living in the shadows of Egypt. What do I mean by that? I want to go just a little bit deeper. It means your old mentality, your habits, but mainly your attitude. If I was guilty of anything along my path at Abba's house, I would rather stand transparent and bear all in front of you and say, it was my attitude. All the staff members just say amen, it's okay. Let me give you just a few examples, not of me, because it's too embarrassing, but some general examples. You could get promoted at your job, you deserve the promotion, you have the education level, but for some reason, there's always drama right around the time you're getting promoted and your mouth messes it up every single time. A reproach. That's not just who you are. That's a reproach. You have an Egyptian mentality, a slave mentality, while you're on the path to your destiny, and the two are incongruent. God cannot put his blessings on that which has a bad attitude. You can't find a mate. Every time you start dating somebody, this boyfriend, this girlfriend, drama, 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 the same thing. A total codependent relationship begins to develop. That's not just because of who you are. That's a reproach. You want to go back to school, you want to go back to college, but you never have the time because right when you do that, that ex-husband or that ex-wife throws a wrench into the plan every single time and you blame them for everything and you love talking about how bad they are all the time. You don't know them. They deserve everything I have to say. When you are on the path to your destiny, you don't care about that anymore. You got something to do. You got a job to do. Yes, you got to. Oh, go ahead and don't clap me down. Clap or not clap. That's a good word. You don't know my circumstances. Yes, I do. And you can always find a way to look at your attitude and say, does this match the destiny that God has for my life? Moses was still under that reproach. People don't like to talk about this. It's controversial to this day. Moses, though he was circumcised, though he led the children of Israel, he still was under the reproach and was not allowed to go into the promised land. He was under the reproach. What was Moses guilty of? A bad attitude. A bad attitude. And a bad attitude will mess you up every time. But there is good news. There is good news. And now this is that moment where I've got to fix that scowl on my face that Carolyn was talking about when I first started preaching. Because I want to say this again. There's good news. Will you say amen? There is good news because there is a shift that takes place before chapter 5. You see, if you just start out at chapter 5, you're never going to understand why is it that God waited till this moment to lift that reproach. Remember, God lifts the reproach. Why does he choose this moment? That's what was perplexing. That's what puzzled me, is why did God wait so long until this moment? And so I begin to search, and the only thing that I came up with under the inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit is what's found in chapter 1. So we have to go backwards in time, because something happened in chapter 1. There was a shift. First of all, a new generation rose. Now let me tell you something. When you hear generation, every time I'm getting real with you, just be real, and I'm not going to go past 2 o'clock preaching, so you're okay. Calm down. Every time in the Bible a new generation rises and somebody would preach that up here or any other church, I would immediately get paranoid and go, well, I guess it doesn't apply to me then. But I want to tell you what a new generation is. A new generation is simply a new season in your life. It is a new moment to cast the destiny that God has for you and begin to walk it. This is a new generation. Wow, everybody got really quiet on me when I said that. So let me say it all again, because I don't think I made it clear. A generation is a signal that there is a new time period for your life. Maybe you've been that way your whole life, but you can change. There's your new generation. A new attitude, a new mindset, a new way of doing things. Fresh under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Joshua 1, this is what the Bible says. And God is talking here to Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this land, Lebanon, even as far as the great river and river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not fail or forsake you. And this is it right here. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only, watch this again, be strong and courageous. He's going to say it again. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. Man, that's good. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Watch this again. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When you have a destiny in Christ, when you have a destiny that you know for beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know it's inside of you, there has to come a point in your life where you say, no matter what happens, if I die and this is unfulfilled, I'm going to die declaring it. I came to a point in my own ministry that I would go to my prayer closet, having written everything down that I believe God was calling me to be and to do, and I would declare it. Beginning, I think, in 2010, God has called me to be a senior pastor. He's lining things up right now. In 2011, I would read it again. God has called me to pastor. He is paving the path for me right now. But it wasn't until I adjusted my attitude to say, God, I know you're calling me to pastor, but in the meantime, I am going to be strong and courageous. I will not waver. I will not change my mind. And I used to say to myself, if I die declaring without it having been fulfilled, then I've sought after a good thing, the Bible says. Then I've sought after a good thing. There is, let me tell you something, you say you don't understand. People will think I'm crazy if I begin to walk out on that. People think you're crazy already, so just walk, baby. Just walk. They already think you're crazy. Let your destiny match your personality. My goodness, some of you need to think big because you're crazy anyway. Hallelujah. He says to be strong and courageous. I know I've yelled a lot this morning, folks. I've been around Pentecostals for 18 months. You're going to have to deal with it. It's like an addiction. I'm kidding. To be strong means that you're not wishy-washy, that you publicly declare what God has called you to do and called you to be, and you walk in it to the best of your ability, unashamed. You don't listen to the right or to the left because you're being strong. Being strong, it's very difficult sometimes to be strong and courageous because some of the closest people around you are the most critical. When you're walking in your destiny and you're walking out from under the shadow of Egypt, you have to tune out family members who don't necessarily think that that's what you should be doing. You have to block out some of the closest people in your life. You will lose friends, I promise you. But guess what? When you're strong and courageous, you're on the path of your destiny, you'll make new friends. You'll make friends that want to empower you and want to help you and want to encourage you and want to love you. Being courageous is the ability to do something that scares somebody else. Being courageous is the ability to do something that would scare somebody else. When God called us to Harrisonburg, Virginia, to what I think is the greatest church in the Shenandoah Valley, Ray of Hope is amazing. I love the people. I love the community. I love every single thing about it. And though I miss you, I'm glad to be gone. Amen. Though I miss you and I think of you often, and while we were in worship a while ago, I was about to run I said, man, I miss this. I love it. I miss the preaching. I miss the people. I miss everything about it, but I'm in my destiny. I'm in my destiny. And so there's nothing about what I miss here. As much as I miss it, there's nothing that could pull me back ever. Why? Because I'm in my destiny. And the fulfillment of that purpose is greater than any form of nostalgia. The purpose of that destiny is greater than anything that I could look back on and say how awesome it was. And it was indeed awesome. But at every single moment at Abba's house, this was just as good as anything else. This right here. Because if your attitude isn't right, doing the simplest of chores that I thank God for, if your attitude is wrong, you'll never get promoted past that level of your attitude, not one single time. Stand to your feet this morning with me. Brian, if you would come. There are people in here, when I would envision this and say, God, because I believe in doing that, I believe in praying that God will show me the atmosphere before I'm going to preach of what it's going to look like. I said, God, show me the atmosphere. I didn't like what God was showing me. Ever do that? Where you say, wait a minute, I don't necessarily like what that looks like. But if the pastors who are available, if they would come as well. I'm giving an altar call this morning for three different people. First of all, I have to say this because I'm obliged by the Holy Spirit to do what He's asked. I know that this message is for Christian people. It's for a church. It's for individuals, but not the church body, but individuals in the church body. But I'm wrong if I don't say that your destiny without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is secure. I promise you, it's a destiny in hell. We are sugarcoating this to the point that I can't even stomach hearing some people give the gospel because they sugar it down so much that they don't tell the absolute truth. The absolute truth is that you will have a godly destiny by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. He will save you. He will clean you from your head to your toe. And you'll have a godly destiny, not just fire insurance to get out of hell. But folks, you can have the illusion of success, and still go to hell without the blood of Jesus applied to your life. There are people in here right now this morning, you're not saved. You might be with a guest, you might be with a friend, and you don't even understand everything that we've done today. You don't even understand most of what I've preached. That's okay, me either, it's all good. But in the back of your mind, you say there's something to this. There's a voice in the back of your head right now saying, I don't know what all this is about, but there's got to be something more to my life. I say this to you, the unsaved, there's a destiny. God has a destiny for you. I say this to you, sinner, there is a destiny in Jesus Christ. And here in just a few moments, I want you to be courageous and do something that may scare other people, and that's walk down this aisle to one of these pastors and give your heart to Jesus Christ. You have to be strong to do that. You have to be courageous, because as you're walking down the aisle, you have to have your mind made up that, hey, I am going to do everything I can. I'm going to make this. I'm going to try. I'm going to give it everything. You can't look to the right or to the left. You just have to walk down, and you have to be willing to do something that scares most people away, and that's walk down this aisle and come into covenant with Jesus Christ with one of these pastors. And then there's two other groups of people this morning. It's two groups of people that, number one, you know what your destiny is, but you're guilty of everything preached. You're wishy-washy, you have a bad attitude, and you know it, and you just need to get it out there, and you need to confess it. I want you to come forward and just whisper it to one of these pastors as a sign of confession and as a moment that things changed. As a moment, as a declarative moment. Folks, we've got to get back into the idea, into the understanding that there is a definitive moment. There is a moment of before, there is a moment after. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, or maybe that you've said the prayer and there isn't a difference in your life between when you were in sin and now, you definitely have the reproach of Egypt on your life. And so that second group, you're not where you need to be. You know this message was for you beyond a shadow of a doubt. I'm going to invite you to the altar in just a few minutes. And then finally, this last group. You're doing the best you can right now. You're doing everything you can. You've even worked on your attitude, but you need just a little bit of Holy Spirit juice to keep you going just a little farther until God puts you on that path. You know you're called to do whatever it is you're called to do, but you need just a little juice today. You need just a little bit of agreement. You need just somebody to stand in with you and say, hey, we're hanging in there with you. Because I want to tell you something. Nobody in my life has ever loved me as much as this church has loved me, and this church will love you. This church will love you, but you have to be willing to come in and say, I'm dropping all pretense. I surrender all type of arrogance and anything else. Help me get the help that I need. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father God, I've preached and delivered the word in accordance with what you have called me to do. It is your word. It is what your Holy Spirit has said to speak this morning. Now, Father God, I'm asking that you open the ears and the hearts of the people to listen to your voice. And Father, that they would begin to obey what you would have them do this morning. Father, I pray for the sinner this morning that conviction would sweep over them from their head to their toe. And Father, they would not wait till next Sunday or the Sunday after. There's business to be taken care of today. We have work to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, as you're looking up here, if you met any of those three categories, would you just come down to the altar this morning? Be bold and just come down to the altar in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's more, there's more. There's about 25 more people that's supposed to be down here. Don't wait. Jog down here if you have to, but get down here. In Jesus' name, begin walking down here. Yes, yes. You have a destiny in Christ. You have a purpose. There is something that you're supposed to do, but you can't dwell in the shadow of Egypt. You got to adjust your attitude, your mindset, somebody else. There's more. There's more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's more in here. They're still coming. They're still coming. I'm talking to you, sinner. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you think he can't be talking to me. I'm talking to you this morning. There's a destiny for you in Christ. There's something that you're supposed to be doing for the kingdom. And that feeling in the back of your mind, like there's got to be more than this, I'm talking to you this morning. Don't hesitate. Get down here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father God, don't let them go through another service where they're scared, where they're worried, where they're timid. Father, let them get the help that they need to get on the right path, to abandon that which is holding them back under the shadows of slavery, under the shadows of a mindset, under a bad attitude, under a negative spirit. Lord God, let them get the freedom today that they need to look in the mirror and say, I've got some changing to do. Oh, Father, I know we're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, and what the Son has made free is free indeed. But Father God, we have work to do. And I'm so grateful, God, that you empower us to that work. I'm so grateful, Lord Jesus, that you give us the courage and the strength. But Father God, remind us that we need intestinal fortitude, that we need grit. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If you're needing courage this morning and strength, right now is the time.